on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Thursday, December 4th, 2025 edition. Jesus, I can't believe it's already Thursday. It's been such a crazy start to the final month of this year. And, you know, we're already starting thinking about RMDs and, you know, what to do to kind of button up 2025. That means, you know, we're heading into the new year very, very soon. And usually with new year comes new trends, new realities on the ground, both in markets as well as in business. So our job here is to unpack it all for you each and every day. And we mainly do that by answering your finance and investment questions, bringing you data, perspective, developed over 25 years of investment experience. Now, in addition to our daily show, we also host webinars from time to time. We do have one coming up on Tuesday, December 9th, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time. So it's 1 hour. The first half hour is going to be dedicated to year-end tax toolkit, talking about that RMD planning, not just about today. And this isn't just, oh, what should you do between now and the end of the year? No, this is really holistic, understanding how taxes impact your investment strategy as well as your long-term plan and things you can do to mitigate taxes. Nobody likes paying the tax man, but also do it in a way that also accomplishes a goal. It's not just about saving on taxes, but it's also how do you do that while achieving other ends as well. So I really like this presentation. Luke and I have been working on it this week. And coming up after that, we'll do that for about a half hour, and then we'll have a half hour Q&A session. So I encourage you to tune in, and you do have to register by heading over to investtalk.com. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to know what you think about Novo Nordisk, symbol NVO. It looks like a value play, and I just want to find out what you people think. Thank you so much, and appreciate your show. It's a great show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And looking at Novo Nordisk, and, you know, this is an interesting one, considering we were actually looking at this as we were recently, as we were looking at the healthcare space and, you know, what names you want to get into, et cetera. But what was our end takeaway was that simply it's a decent business, but the trends in earnings expectations continue to come down. Earnings for this year are supposed to be up 5% in total, but those estimates are trending lower as fourth quarter earnings expectations come down. And then next year, earnings are expected to fall 2%. Now, this is something, this is a lesson for all of you out there. It's that if something looks cheap, you have to understand whether that makes sense or not. Because it has a low PE ratio or something like that doesn't mean it's cheap. It could have a below market PE ratio and be expensive because its business is either extremely slow or potentially dying or reversing in a big, big way after years of growth. And this earned $1.22 in 2018 and then $3.48 last year. So pretty consistent growth, increasing earnings every single year since 2018. But once again, next year will be the first year where earnings are expected to fall 2%. And in any business that has low to negative growth, it's going to trade at a low multiple. Bottom line, that's typically why you see companies like commodity companies struggle to trade at high multiples because they tend to be very cyclical businesses. And markets don't pay up for cyclical businesses, businesses that are growing slow, etc. So that's why you want to look at against its peers and what's going on. So its main peer, and for everyone else out there, Novo Nordisk, it's out of Denmark. They're a developer of insulin products mainly, and there's pressure on that side of the business. But also, they do have some GLP-1 products, and there's pressure there as well. They're not the leader. I think Lilly has Ozempic, but Novo Nordisk has something similar. But there's also pressure on those prices as well, and that's really what you're seeing here. Is that revenue growth last quarter was still pretty solid, 11%. But earnings growth was negative 23%. Okay, so a year ago, revenue growth was in the mid-20s, and now it's in the right around 10%, and earnings growth is negative. So this is the problem here. And ultimately, why we passed on it is because, it looked cheap on the surface. Once we dug deeper, it really didn't excite us. We didn't like the trends in earnings. And then you couple that with the momentum. The price chart is terrible. It's in a consistent downtrend, and it's not getting above any major moving averages. And these are the type of names that you stay away from. You can keep on your watch list, you can watch, but you ultimately pass until there's progress. Progress on the chart, progress in earnings growth trends, etc. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes. And our main focus point is about American supply chains. And are we seeing a renaissance? So we're going to dig into some details there and figure out whether or not the $1.7 trillion, the companies are planning to spend to bring manufacturing back is something that is sustainable. Okay. So we'll dig into that story. Also, BlackRock, they are seeing a lot of bad loans in the private credit markets. And there was an unprecedented maneuver or change from some of the advisors that sold these products. They're actually giving up their fees because things are that bad. So we'll dig into that story as well. In addition, mega mergers, you're starting to see some bigger ones recently, and some rumors of some large mergers. But we're going to look back in history and show whether or not big mergers between two large corporations typically makes sense or not. So we'll dig into that. And then if we have time, we'll talk about what energy traders are thinking when it comes to the AI data center demand build out. Okay, it's because they have a kind of an inside view of that industry. And ultimately, you want to stand up and listen when they speak. So we'll dig into that story as well. Those are things that are on the docket for me. We have voice bank questions. One is on safe haven investments, and as well as Rio Tinto. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, most importantly, are going to be your live calls. So don't hesitate to reach out to me right now at 888-99-CHART. Now, as we move to a break, let me tell you about a special opportunity for you. And I'll begin by posing an important question for all you investors. What's the one gift that truly gives peace of mind? And the simple answer is security for your family. That's why I want to highlight the KPP Financial Holiday Estate Bundle. If you become a client by year end, you will get a will and trust created for you by trustandwill.com. So it's our special gift to you for joining by year end. The phone lines are open for you right now. So give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Are you worried about what your tax bill will look like this year? As we head into the final weeks of 2025, now is a good time to get proactive. And you can do that by joining Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero for the upcoming Invest Talk Wealth Webinar. Year-End Tax Toolkit, RMD Planning, Tax Loss Harvesting, and Deferral Strategies. This hour-long session is your chance to get their expert insights on navigating the complexities of year-end tax planning. Justin and Luke will cover everything from managing those mandatory RMDs to using tax loss harvesting to offset gains to effective income deferral techniques. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Time. The Wealth Webinar is free, but you must pre-register at investtalk.com. Hurry, December 9th is coming up fast. The official numbers are in. Now, with 62 million downloads, InvestTalk. Listen live or download the free podcast. Call anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a look at the market today. It was a modest down day overall. Let me pull this up here. Let me get the full data. We had some jobless claims that came in lower than expected. I'll be interested to see if that holds. They were much lower than expected. Could be just kind of year end. Maybe people don't want to lay off people in the holidays or whatever. But ultimately, that was the lowest level of the year, which kind of conflicts with other data that says layoffs are accelerating, especially when you look at things like U.S. employers announced 71,000 job cuts in November. That's up 24% year over year. But down 53% from October, so a bit of a improvement. Year-to-date cuts of 1.1 million, the highest since 2020. And so when you see initial claims coming in at 191,000 versus kind of average around 220,000 recently, it's a bit odd. But continuing claims barely ticked down as well, so you didn't really see many people getting off the unemployment lines either. So not a lot of hiring going on as well. So kind of a mixed bag in the labor market. But overall, I still remain steadfast that the labor market is modestly weak. What else happened on the day? If you look at the broader indices, it was relatively flat. S&P up 11 basis points. NASDAQ up 22. The Dow's down a little bit, down about 7 basis points. Really, I think the market's still waiting for those PCE numbers tomorrow to really get a good gauge of inflation and how the Fed is going to view it as they head into their decision next week on Wednesday. So we are less than a week now from the Fed decision on Wednesday. 87% chance that the market is pricing in that they will cut rates one time. Or some big losers or some gainers. NVIDIA is up 2%, Apple down 1%, Google down a little bit, Microsoft eked out a gain. Meta up 3% on news that they were likely cutting some of their investment in the metaverse. So maybe they're going to change their name back to Facebook or maybe Instagram, who knows. But ultimately, that's clearly not a big focus for them. And I don't think the consumer is wanting that product either. I think virtual reality or the metaverse is cool for a short period of time, but not many people really want to live in the metaverse over, you know, any extended period of time. So clearly the market liked that misallocation of capital. And that shows you the market will reward you when you allocate capital correctly, and they will punish you when you don't. And, you know, I remember Meta had that big drop after they changed their name and they invested a bunch. It fell from $380 per share back in 2021 to a low of $91 per share. So pretty drastic drop. And then they kind of pivoted back to their traditional business, AI, and things got better from there. So they continued to pivot away from it, and the market certainly liked that. But, you know, once again, it's really going to be about the economic news that comes out tomorrow and how that feeds into the expectations for Fed policy, not just in this upcoming meeting, but beyond. Okay. So look for that as well. 8899-CHART, 8899-242-478. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. And we received questions that came in via the comment section over the YouTube, our InvestTalk YouTube channel. So SSJ Baller says, congrats on 10,000 subs. Thank you so much. And I get your thoughts on STRL, Sterling Infrastructure, on this pullback. Okay, Sterling Infrastructure. STLR is the symbol. And I've definitely had a call or ask a question about this recently. They provide e-infrastructure, building construction, transportation solutions, and related services. Obviously booming because of AI data infrastructure build out. I'm still hesitant to pay high multiples for these type of names because I do think ultimately you're going to see a slowdown in this space. I still think there's a lot of opportunity, but I think this recent weakness is could be the start of something bigger. I do think we're getting a broader, I don't say AI bust, but a re-rating of, okay, what does this AI investment really get us as an investor? Is this something that makes sense? Is there positive economic value being created? That is something that I think the market's going to, in the new year, start to come to some realization about. And you're going to see, I think, a broader correction in these type of names. So I would keep it on my watch list, but I would certainly pass on it for now. Now we're heading to a break. I'm ready for your calls now at 888-99-CHART. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body actually is? I found that very interesting when I learned about the True Age Test from True Diagnostic. And this knowledge has completely changed the way I think about my health. The test breaks down how fast 11 key systems like your heart, brain, liver, and lungs are aging, plus over 75 longevity biomarkers covering things like metabolic health, immune response, and disease risk. Here's the good news. 90% of aging is driven by lifestyle and environment, not just genetics. So how we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress plays a huge role in how fast or slow we age. That means we have a lot of control over it. With just a simple at-home test, you can find out your true biological age with no doctor visits or labs, just a quick, painless finger prick. You mail in your sample using a prepaid package, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get a detailed online report about your aging and health. True Diagnostic doesn't just give you a number. They give you a personalized report full of clear, science-backed steps you can take to slow aging and improve your health over time. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head to truediagnostic.com and use my code INVEST for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST for 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce the Holiday Estate Bundle. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started.
Hi, my name is Joe from Greenville, South Carolina. I have a question that's a little bit more macro. Just as our currency as a country has gotten into this fiat currency with no real backing, it seems like the Fed and the government, when they don't feel like they can raise taxes, just print the money, which is ultimately devaluing our currency over time. And there doesn't seem to be any indication that they're going to stop doing that. They are likely going to do that more and more into the future. What do you think a good safe haven for that would be in the long term? I'm in my 30s and just, I guess, somewhat worried about a somewhat bigger collapse of the system. Just the value of the dollar in general. Is stocks a good place to be in the event of something like that happening? Is gold and silver a good place to be in the event of something like that happening? Is land a good thing to be in the event of something like that happening? I'm just trying to figure out a plan, I guess, for something like that were to happen, because it seems like our currency is just devalued year after year, and I just don't see any change in that coming. Thanks so much. Listen for your answer on the podcast.
This is the winner of best question of 2025, because this is the framing every single investor out there should be thinking about. Not, I'm just going to index, right? That's not the new world. The new world is this, what this caller just asked about. Yes, absolutely. The politicians on both sides of the aisle, and you can see it right now, right? Trump ran on Doge and cutting spending. He cut like $7 billion, $9 billion, nothing. It was, you know, so spending, there's nothing stops this train. Okay, nothing stops this train. It's a Lynn Alden saying, and I love. And you're right. So you have to think about it differently. Now, is gold and silver part of it? Yes, absolutely. Everybody, I've been saying this for years now because I've seen this. You know, you can talk about, how you want the world to be. And I talk about this all the time. You never invest how you want the world to be. You have to invest based on how the world is. And you're identifying it, that this is a train that does not stop and will not stop. And so you have to adjust your portfolio accordingly. So number one, yes, gold and silver. Number two, harder assets. Are stocks a good place? They tend to be a good place to invest. Now, harder assets tend to do better in an inflationary environment. And those can be companies that hold and own harder assets. Okay. They tend to not be growthier type of businesses either. They tend to be more value-oriented. That's how it tends to work. Now, depends on the year, and it's not a straight line, but this is the new era that you are operating in. Now, you typically don't want to be in treasuries, super low-risk investments. You know, most people are still scarred by 08. Everyone fights the last war. Remember the generals fight the last war? Most people are fighting 08 because that's the real big war. Yeah, we had COVID and all that, but still, that's fresh in a lot of people's mind, even though it's nearly two decades ago now. And that it shows you that the risk in this market is not deflation. That's what 08 was, the deflationary impulse. We are seeing that the risk is to the upside, which is inflation, an inflationary impulse. And remember, markets are not priced in real terms, meaning subtracting out inflation, they're priced nominally. So I think it was from 1962 to 1982. Equity markets are up, but in real terms, your return was zero because you subtracted out inflation and you kept up with purchasing power. And so I think there's probably a period over the next 20, 30 years, an extended period where you're going to see that, where if you're just investing in the S&P, your real return is going to be zero, maybe even negative. Okay, so yes, you have to rethink your portfolio strategy. That's what we do for our clients at KPP, and that's what we really speak about and adjust our portfolios accordingly. So hope that helps. There's a lot more. I could go in depth, probably hours for this, but I want to move on to our next caller. Dave in Ohio wants to talk about Dow, D-O-W.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Your thoughts on Dow? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Yep.
Your thoughts on Dow Chemical? I know the technicals are horrible, mm-hmm. but you see a possible turnaround in the next year or two for Dow Chemical?
What's making you bring what? Okay, so you said the technicals are horrible. What is it about Dow that making you think that this would potentially be a buy?
It's about almost at the 52-week low.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I did a tax loss harvest on it, and after the 30 days, I was thinking about buying it back for the dividend.
Okay, so you lost money on it. And you want to, you want to buy it for the dividend. Oh, okay. This is the perfect example of something. The way you're thinking about this is completely wrong. You need to take whatever you did to get to this, focusing on Dow Chemical, take it out and throw it in the garbage. Because this is whatever thought process you had needs to go away. Because this is the exact opposite of what you want to do. You tax loss harvest for a reason. You lost money for a reason because they have a ton of debt. They're supposed to lose money this year and next year. Just because it's a big name and it pays a big dividend does not mean it's a good investment. This is a horrible investment. Do not touch this. Move on to another name. We're heading to a break. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
$1.7 trillion. That's how much American companies have committed to bringing manufacturing back to U.S. soil. This isn't about politics either. Something fundamental has changed in the math of the global supply chains. Today, we're breaking down why speed and proximity are suddenly beating cheap overseas labor. And this is a story, an underrated story that just not a lot of people are talking about. Maybe it's a political divide. And I'm the first to say When I make investment decisions, I throw out any politics. I'm personally, politically, I'm very much in the middle. But, you know, the Trump administration has made the revival of U.S. manufacturing a strategic objective. And to be fair, it started pre this this administration. It started many years ago, kind of post COVID. And it was really about the pandemic that exposed the fragility of the global supply chains. And the old model, which was, let's just go find the cheapest labor we can throughout the world and we'll just ship it back to America. It's no longer viable because customers don't want delays. And it exposed the fragility of most companies' supply chains that were very rigid and they were unable to be flexible in times of geopolitical chaos. And that resulted in lost sales, lost market share, and ultimately lower profits. So right now, manufacturing and construction are at historic levels. Spending on U.S. factory construction has surged, reaching $223 billion seasonally adjusted as of July of this year. It's clear that businesses are seeing this and they're making investments in the United States. But the real question is, in what ways? Is it just we're just setting up factories? And the answer is no, not really. Now, it is bringing in jobs. The nonprofit Reshoring Initiative, they report that 244,000 jobs were announced last year tied to some sort of reshoring or foreign direct investment. So that's a good thing. And you've had big announcements from companies like Texas Instruments, Apple, TSMC, NVIDIA, etc. Now, some of that's been this year, some of it's been last year, but it's clear that many companies are bringing, are thinking about adding capabilities here in the United States. Now, 10 years ago, domestic production was about too much cost. Okay. But in the world of AI and technology, suddenly it can become an advantage if you do it right. And so number one, the number one way that companies are bringing manufacturing back, automation and robotics. So this is a secular theme. This is another theme that we have in our portfolios at KPP Financial, which is robotics. What are the companies that will benefit the most from this? So think about that when you're building your portfolio. And then visibility. Think of RFID chips, another area that we've leaned into as well to make sure that inventories are tracked more efficiently, they're leaner, and you're not sacrificing any controls. Okay. Now, Deloitte's 2025 Smart Manufacturing Research showed that manufacturers are really leaning into the technology side to mitigate operational risks and obviously labor scarcity because labor costs here are high. So what is that overall new playbook for those that are building out a supply chain that is US-based? Well, number one is having flexibility, regional demand to meet regional demand. So you don't just have your inventory in one place. It's spread out and it can be moved easily. And you layer on software, once again, that's using AI, that can be configured when disruptions occur, which naturally they do, right? And that's what COVID kind of showed. Because customers, no matter what happens, they still want quick delivery. They want inventory to turn over and come in fast. So this is another aspect of the inflationary environment that we are in that most people are underappreciating, that this is a trend that is raising costs. You know, China going into the World Trade Organization in the, what year was that? It was in the late 90s, if I remember correctly. And ever since then, you had that deflationary environment. But since COVID, we're now in an inflationary environment. Why? Because companies are no longer just relying on their China resources and manufacturing. So once again, they're using automation to offset labor costs. That's part of the playbook. They're designing optionality into their systems. Flexibility is now far more important. And partners that they're working with need to be adaptable. So it's not just about who can provide the cheapest service as part of the particular supply chain. It's about which ones can offer the most adaptability. And then also future-proofing against changes in policy. Why? Because you've seen that with tariffs. 100% tariffs one day, next week it's 30%, then it's 60, it's all over the place. And so you need to be flexible and reroute production. So it's not about just, I'm going to have all my manufacturing in China. I might have some, I might have some in other parts of Asia, maybe in Eastern Europe, maybe even back here in America. So it's not just about U.S. manufacturing or U.S. logistics. It's still global, but it's about diversification and creating that flexibility within the system. So that is the huge factor that people are underappreciating and what the changes and the changes that are happening underneath the surface in the business community. And so when you look at your portfolios, these are things that you need to adjust for. You need to consider these secular changes and how that impacts the portfolio. So that inflation, it's not just sector-wide. I just talked about a few sectors like robotics and logistics, but also that inflationary environment. Longer duration assets tend to not do so well when inflation is rising, when interest rates are rising, et cetera. So in a world where speed wins, it's not just about the lowest cost anymore. You need to step back and think about your portfolio, how that this impacts the entire economy, different sectors, different asset classes, et cetera. Because there's new math behind all of this, right? AI is just a bunch of math behind the scenes. And ultimately, that starts to apply in the real world, on the ground, in supply chains, but also does reflect back on markets as well. Let's pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier at 888-99-CHART.
Good day, Justin. Luke, Chuck from Clayton. Hey, was listening to the 12-3 show, and Luke was getting into copper, and I found a big interest in and started some research. My portfolio has a good little mix of silver and gold, but I really don't have copper. So I was looking for something a little bit diversified, but stronghold in copper. And I ran across Rio Tinto Group, RIO. Thoughts on it? Entry point? What do you guys think? Love to hear your analysis. And thank you again for all you do.
Excuse me. Okay, so looking at Rio Tinto, let's take a look at their business. Now, here is the issue, and this is the issue with a lot of commodity names, not just Rio Tinto, especially the large commodity names, is that they don't just have one. Remember, these commodity names that have been around for decades, they've gone through different cycles. And oftentimes they realize, you know, I'm up to the whims of what's going on. They're price takers. There's not a lot they can do to increase their margins. You know, it's whatever the price of that underlying commodity goes for in the marketplace. And that's why throughout the years, oftentimes they'll take profits when times are good and they'll reinvest in other types of commodities. Now, Rio Tinto right now, 51% of the revenue is iron ore. 24% of the revenue is aluminum. 16% is copper. Now, this has been going up because not iron ore, clearly. It's actually aluminum and copper. So that's what you're getting here. So this isn't really a copper play. This is a iron ore play with some aluminum and copper. Now, I like those second two. I don't like iron ore because historically there's been a huge capacity expansion for iron ore. And for everyone out there, iron ore is used, to make steel. And over the past 20, 30 years, these companies the demand for iron ore has been China. And China is no longer building real estate like they used to. They kind of stopped. Everyone told them to stop building bridges to nowhere and apartments people didn't need. And they kind of have, which kind of good for China, but bad for iron ore demand. Now, what I will say is that earnings is still relatively cheap. Earnings this year is supposed to be $6.29, $6.74 next year. It's a $73 stock. It's already ran its 81 relative strength, so it's had a nice little run. And I like broader exposure to commodities. If I'm trying to get exposure to copper, this isn't the name I want to own. It's only, what did I say, 14% of their overall revenue? 16%, sorry. Not much. I want a pure play copper name. So that's kind of the long and short here. It's a fine business. Do I hate it? No, I like kind of the rest of the business. I like aluminum. I like copper, but I don't like iron ore. And so I'd be looking for a different name to gain that exposure. Now, this InvestTalk, our work continues. So hang on.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com, and while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions, 888-99-CHART.
8899-CHART, 8899-24278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, let's talk a little bit about the troubled loan market or the private credit market, and this is coming from BlackRock. This is the second time you've had a major issue with some of their private funds. I believe it was last year, remember the BREIT, their private REIT fund? It started to gate money, gate redemptions, and it basically say you can't have your money back. Well, some of the private loans, also known as collateralized loan obligations, are falling in value and to the level where some of their riskier tranches, remember, I don't know if you ever watched The Big Short. And they talked about that was CDOs. Collateralized debt obligations. These are very similar, where you take a bunch of loans, you chop them up. They've done the exact same thing. They said, okay, these ones are AAA because these ones are getting all of the money. They're going to yield the least, but then you can invest in the lowest tranches or different tranches that are going to have increasingly higher yields. But if there are losses, those lower tranches start to take some of the brunt. And that's what you are starting to see here. That's what happened in October, and BlackRock has declined to comment. So this is, I think, kind of the start, okay? There's a slew of companies that are in trouble. One of those is called Renovo Home Partners. They filed for bankruptcy earlier in November, and they revised the value of the debt to zero. And this is a home improvement company, and they deemed it worth 100 cents on the dollar just weeks before. And now it's worth zero. Another name, educational software provider Pluralsight. They took ownership just last year. Now they're filing for bankruptcy. They also have a company called Astra Acquisition. They filed for bankruptcy in September. So you're starting to see the slew of bankruptcies. And this is why I say, if anyone owns these type of investments, you need to be finding ways out before you're gated. And why, what's interesting here is this is where the bad lending happened over this cycle. It isn't in the public credit markets. Talking about, you know, your high yield debt markets. Not to say that there aren't going to be bankruptcies there. What I'm saying is that the size of that market, your public credit markets, you know, that have debt outstanding, right, bonds outstanding in the corporate market that you might own in some sort of an ETF or some sort of, you know, high yield credit fund. The bad lending there wasn't nearly that bad because it all moved to this private credit space. And you're starting to see some of these blow up. And I do think there can be contagion, especially as we head into next year. Now we're heading to a break. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Rain or shine, there's always value in the Invest Talk podcast. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Rodney in D.C. And I wanted to see if you all could go into just a short take on the crowdfunding investment platforms like StartEngine or some others. I think StartEngine may have consolidated or absorbed some other sites. But just talk about the opportunities there, potential pitfalls. I wasn't sure if that should be looked at as like a LoopNet type of, you know, the real estate platform where some real estate investors say bad deals go to find life, bad deals go to find life. But if you could talk a little bit about StartEngine and other crowdfunding investment platforms, that would be great. Just to get your take on it, see if there's actually any real opportunity or is it something we should be wary of as investors. Appreciate all you guys do. Been a long time listener. If you spoke on this subject before, I apologize for the catching an episode.
Well, let's start off with, there are a lot of real estate platforms out there that come up throughout the years. I remember some of the names, but those have not done particularly well. They're just private REITs. And you talked about BREIT earlier. And, you know, if you want to invest in REITs, just buy public market REITs. There's no reason to go in the private markets. Now, StartEngine is more about investing in small businesses, venture capital money, et cetera. It's on its cover of it. I never actually heard of it. So I don't have a lot to tell you about it in particular. What I will say is Kevin O'Leary is on the front, and that's always a red flag to me. I think he's, I would do the opposite of anything Kevin O'Leary pretty much says. Mr. Not Wonderful in my mind. But StartEngine, it looks like it's, once again, a private investing platform. And, you know, I made some private investments in my life, and the ones that have worked out were because of not the idea, that the idea was great. And, it was, and I'm not saying it wasn't great, but it was really about the person and the leaders. And, you know, that's my issue with these private investments is how much are you really knowing about the people behind the business? It can be the greatest idea in the world, but execution is everything. Any person in business will tell you that it's all about execution. Everything's about execution. Everybody has a million ideas and they can all be great, but it does not matter unless you can execute. And so how do you vet these people to know that these are people that will execute? I find that very difficult. So I would never invest my money through something like this because I would want to know who I'm betting on. Let's drop in one more question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke, long time, first time. This is Clark from San Mateo. I have a question about ticker TTI, Tetra Technologies. Looks pretty good to me. I've been holding it for a little while, but wanted to get some feedback just because it's had a bit of a run up here. And most of the numbers look good to me, except a little bit of debt. But other than that, I'm seeing mostly good sides. Curious if maybe I should even add to the position. Thanks for everything.
We're looking at Tetra Technologies. They are in the oil service business. Okay, they provide completion fluids, production testing, and wellhead compression. This is on a tear. I do like the oil service industry in general, especially anything that is around getting more natural gas out of the ground, because I am more bullish on the demand for that. And I think that's why you're seeing Tetra Technologies go higher because of the investment that companies are making in that type of development. Earnings are supposed to be up 28% this year, 31% next year. But I will say is that this is a very cyclical type of business. Okay, if oil prices come back down and you see oil companies pull back their development, well, Tetra is going to feel the pain there. But right now, the trends are good. I'd want to know what percentage of the portfolio it is right now to tell you, and as well as your overall exposure to oil and gas and natural gas more particularly, before I'd say add to it. Right now, I'd probably just hold it and have a stop on it because, you know, like I said, these businesses are very cyclical. So keep the trend. It's a good business with good profitability, good balance sheet right now in an industry that is still getting strong investment. So to hold for now, but be ready to trim it in time and potentially get out if the trend changes. Well, that about does it. I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your broader financial plan, your investment strategy, considering that earlier caller of the year, love that. I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review with myself or Luke. And you can get your podcasts anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And our newest Invest Talk Wealth webinar is set for Tuesday, December 9th, just 5 days from today, happening online, and it's free, but you do need to register at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights.